Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Not just another crowdfunding exercise. That's how Seed and Spark labeled its most important crowdfund project yet, known as Keep It Colorful. The objective? Springboard as many TV series created by and featuring people of color as possible. With 6 days to go, Seed Chief Executive Emily Best and Color Farm Media Co-owner Eric Alexander join me next. Also ahead, the Netflix Greenlight spree continues, our classic trivia segment, all the Redux blasts off, and AT&T offers the big story of this week and the most disturbing story, and I'll explain. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later this half hour. Good to have you with us on our final September 2018 edition of the program All About Television. Boy, this month has gone by so fast. We had a lot of great people all month long, including the people you are about to hear in the next few minutes. And we invite you, as always, to be part of the program. If you have a question or comment for our guests, put the ring in at 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number's good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the world, here on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. And if you're shy about using the phone, that is no problem with us, because we are chat room ready and waiting for you. It's SimonApple04 by name, and you can find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen, following instructions, and other people can be live with you. 59 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York, and our guest from Seed and Spark's Keep It Colorful campaign will join us live from Los Angeles after these news notes. In what may be a sign of current times at Netflix, the programmer has given the green light to five original series in less than 24 hours. Two romance-oriented programs were approved yesterday afternoon, and three more series, all in the science fiction arena, had all systems go during the lunch hour. The trio of newbies are The Island, starring Kate Bosworth, she's also a co-producer on that series, October Faction, and Warrior Nun. Also, Virgin River and Sweet Magnolias, both adapted from popular romance book series, are the projects set in motion yesterday. A number of published reports the last 2 days suggest Netflix will announce more science fiction, comedy, and romance series initiatives in the coming weeks for 2019 and 2020 presentation. Now for quickies, ABC is set November 4th for a special marking Mickey Mouse's 90th anniversary. Musical participants include Meghan Trainor and the Zac Brown Band. Kanye West will substitute for Ariana Grande as musical guest on Saturday Night Live's 34th season opener tomorrow night. Grande opted out for, as she put it, emotional reasons. And Rashida Jones, Latrine Train Production Company, has a series development deal with MRC, otherwise known as Media Rights Capital. And that is news notes for today. Now joining us live from Los Angeles and Air Radio Switzerland, the chief executive of leading crowdfunding site Seed and Spark, Emily Best. Emily, welcome to our program. Great to have you.
Thank you so much for having me.
It is a pleasure. And we hope in the next few minutes to also be joined by one of the other key people in the Keep It Colorful campaign. You know her as, maybe mostly, as the co-star of the long-running Fox News Living Single. She now co-owns her own production company called Color Farm Media. I'm speaking, of course, of Erica Alexander. We hope to have her on the line shortly. Emily, how is this campaign, Keep It Colorful, going?
It's really awesome. You know, the campaign started with a series of educational events that toured around the country. We met almost 3,000 creators of color in person in 10 cities. And really the goal there was to make sure that creators of color who don't have access to the Hollywood pipeline, which is, you know, most of us, would have access to the tools that they needed to successfully greenlight their own projects leveraging crowdfunding. And then we launched the crowdfunding rally, and there are 49 projects currently raising funds and gathering audiences from 20-some-odd cities across the country. So there are tons of communities who are able to really get behind and back the creators who are representing them.
What does it tell you that this campaign elicited something like, as you said, 3,000 individual creators? What does that say about the level of talent that's out there and the level of diversity that these people want to bring to television?
Yeah. I'll say two things about it that were really clear to me. I'm a white person working in entertainment. I've worked in specifically diversity and inclusion for years, but Erica Alexander is a touchstone in the Black community and has been, and in communities of color, and has been for, you know, more than a decade. And what I realized was that our industry is segregated. It's not meeting creators where they are. And a lot of the sort of diversity work being done is lip service at best. People are not going to the communities that are cultivating the next generation of, like, award-winning creators and giving them the tools that they need. And in part, that's because our industry does not recognize social inequality whatsoever. The industry, because the business models are so bad, has long been the playground of the wealthy. And the only way we are really going to fix the diversity problem in the industry is to make it more sustainable for creators. And that's really the work that Seed and Spark does. What Erica and her team are really good at doing is cultivating talent and helping them level up, right? So our powers combined, we felt like we're really powerful for addressing a giant gap in entertainment.
Now, you're using what is called a rally format, which is not new to Seed and Spark and probably other other crowdfunding sites as well. How does the rally format work specifically in this case?
Sure. We put some partners together, like Color Farm and Black and Sexy TV in this case. We collectively put up cash prizes and bring together mentorship and a lot of in-kind prizes from folks like G Technology who make hard drives. We do a large-scale call for crowdfunding campaigns over the course of a couple of months, and then all of those campaigns launch on the same time, at the same time on the same day, and they run for the exact same period of time. So it really is a rally in the sense everybody's driving on the same track at the same time. They have to hit a minimum number of audiences gathered to really show that there are audiences that want to see their show. And hit the green light. There's no financial minimum in this rally, but they just have to raise the money that they need. If they raise the money they need and they hit the audience target, they become finalists. And those finalists will get mentorship from about a dozen incredible industry mentors, as well as a shot at winning up to $25,000 in matching funds, a development deal with Color Farm, and or a straight-to-series deal with Black and Sexy TV.
And to make sure we understand this for our listeners, everyone, each project that does meet their crowdfunding goal keeps the money, and then it moves up to, no matter what, they get that money to further their pilot or their series, and they go up to the next level as well.
Yeah, that's really important what you pointed out. Is my favorite thing about a crowdfunding rally is even if you don't win the rally, you have raised money and gathered audience for your project, and it's going to happen anyway, right? So part of this is really just to inspire a lot of creators to kind of work together all at the same time and push their projects ahead.
Before we let folks know how exactly this campaign is going, and the results are very impressive with about a week to go, we're still waiting for Erica Alexander to join us. Erica, if you're hearing us, give us a call, 646-652-2906, and as soon as I see that you're ready to go on the air, we'll get you on the air. So let's share with people what has been happening. When we first checked in on this project on episode Wednesday, three shows had reached their crowdfunding goal. It is now, as of 11 o'clock, it's 11 o'clock Eastern time today, five shows have met their goal. And those five shows, in terms of crowdfunding, are Bleeding Backwards, Stigma, Pushers, Sex is a God Thing, and the Caroline Petrie Gibbs series. Now, here's the most interesting thing. Seven other projects are between 70% and 100% of their funding. One, the Beast column, the BTH column, is at 96%. So they may very well, by the end of the day, they become the sixth project to be in. Also, there's Black Girl Training at 88%, Passion Progress at 73%, also Pink at the same level, Morale at 85%, I Hear at 77%, and Victory at 86%. Also, there's another project called, I love this title, Conversation Centered Around Black Bodies at 61%, and another seven projects are between 50 and 60%. Now, again, that's all as of 11 o'clock Eastern time this morning. So as you can hear, Emily, there's a lot of projects that could very well be in play.
Yes, it's so exciting. So the most important thing for your audiences to know is they can go and look at these projects and throw in a few dollars and try to get the projects. The most important thing is these projects get the green light. They get to keep their money once they raise 80% of the funds. So the really important thing is to look at these projects that are between like 50 and 80% funded and see if you can help them really cross the threshold. The other thing you can do as an audience is follow a project that costs you no money. It gives you insider access to what's going on with the project throughout their entire production. But that's actually, the followers are really the way that we're going to determine who the finalists are. They have to reach 500 followers. So if you're out there and you're listening and this sounds exciting to you, go to seedandspark.com, find the Keep It Colorful Rally, and follow and fund the projects that you're most excited about, because there really are so many that we could get greenlit in the next 6 days.
We are talking about Keep It Colorful, which may be one of the most unique projects ever to jumpstart, really catapult the amount of programming aimed at, produced by people of color, both scripted and unscripted television around. And we are talking with Emily Beth, Chief Executive of Seed and Spark, one of the top crowdfunding sites in the nation, which is holding this campaign, which has about 6 days to go. And you can find out about it more at seedandspark.com. And Emily's joining us live right here this half hour from Los Angeles on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tom and Applebaum, who are you on the other coast in Webber, New York, where it's 59 degrees at the top of the hour? You have a question or comment for Emily? You want to voice your thoughts about the campaign? Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04. And again, we are still expecting Eric Alexander, the co-host of the long-running Fox series Living Single in the 1990s. She now co-owns Color Farm Media, which is a production company that's also involved in this campaign. Coming up Monday on Tomorrow Be Televised, we will have Andy Pichero. He's the key executive at Hearst Television, one of the large TV station groups around. And Hearst, incidentally, is launching a project on Facebook Watch called Dispatches from the Middle. We'll talk to Andrew about that and also about a growing trend, TV station groups doing content for smart TV set and smart TV devices, either individual programs or programming services. In the last couple of weeks, Raycom Media has launched an event, a project called Investigative TV, and just this past week, the ABC-owned television stations have launched a project called Localish. Is this an idea of things to come? We'll talk to Andrew Fitzgerald about that. And our very good friend Mark Berman, the former Insider editor-in-chief, will join us. We'll talk about the first week of this broadcast season. We'll talk about the Emmy Awards and what can be done to them in years to come. And we'll get his thoughts about what shows to look for, broadcast and otherwise, the rest of this year. Mark Berman of the Performing Insider, Andrew Fitzgerald, Hearst Television Executive, right here Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Now, explain what Color Farm Media, Emily, is going to do, as well as Black and Sexy Television. What are their roles in this campaign?
Sorry, can you just repeat your question? I lost you for 1 second in the noise of downtown Los Angeles.
Understand. So what are the roles that Black and Sexy TV and Erica's company, Color Farm Media, have in this campaign?
Great, yeah. So Erica and Ben went on the road with Seed and Spark for the educational events. And Black and Sexy is coming on. You know, Black and Sexy produces all of their own content. So the role of Black and Sexy, apart from being incredible promotional partners and bringing awareness, is really going to come after the finals when they pick up a series to develop and produce for their channel. Black and Sexy is one of like the very rare niche streaming platforms who have really found success, and they make all of their own work. And so they have this really clear, cool voice. They have a killer relationship directly with their audiences, and their creators and the actors on their shows, you can just see like they go on from there to do bigger and bigger and bigger things. And so they're an incredible jumping off point for creators who want to launch their careers.
Mm-hmm. Now, where did you go with these organizations around the country to gather interest and to look at pilots?
We did events in Cleveland, Detroit, Philadelphia, Raleigh, Atlanta, Chicago, and Compton. I feel like I'm leaving someone out. Really what we did was combine education and awareness, right? So it wasn't just that we wanted creators everywhere to get their pilots ready. We wanted them to have the tools to run really great crowdfunding campaigns. So the events that we did were both crowdfunding workshops and kind of inspirational events. Erica had a chance to really tell her story. And, you know, a lot of people just want to meet her. So, and I totally understand. She's a magical creature. So, so we hit up all of those cities. We partnered with local arts organizations. We generally held them in we held our events in local theaters or local arts offices, post-production facilities. We even partnered with WakandaCon in Chicago. It's really, it's been a really wonderful time.
And I know that here in New York, your people were involved with Sterrible, which was the new TV festival that premiered this summer.
Yep, as well. Yeah, they're amazing. That platform and the festival, especially giving a place for new creators to really find footing, but also connect with industry, I think is so important. There's really there's a giant gap between the talent and the industry. And in between it are, you know, a lot of really dumb bureaucracy and a lot of middlemen. And the more platforms like Feed and Spark, like Color Farm, like Sterrible, that can provide kind of direct access from the talent to the folks who can greenlight it, I think are really important.
Now, for those projects that currently are under 50%, it might be important to note that often in the last few days of a crowdfunding campaign, there's a surge. And you never know where that surge is coming from. And we saw that this summer with a Kickstarter campaign for All Access Entertainment. It was the proposed programming service from Butch Hartman, the creator of the popular Nickelodeon series, The Fairly Odd Parents. He was on our show this summer, and it looked like they were not going to make the campaign. And then a big weekend happened, and he ended up raising over $275,000 on a campaign that was out to cost maybe $250,000. Do you expect a similar surge for this project?
I sure hope so. So usually that surge is due to the fact that the middle 2 weeks of a crowdfunding campaign are often terrible because people are, you know, audiences are often procrastinators. And so filmmakers really pull out all the stops and they really do a ton of outreach. And that usually comes to fruition in the last 5 or 6 days of a campaign. But it also is why we're talking now, right? Like, we really want to get these projects funded. We really want to see these creators succeed, in part because, you know, there have been some really stupid articles coming out about how there's a pipeline problem in Hollywood, that there just aren't enough female creators. There just aren't enough creators of color. And we're like, really? Because we just met 3,000 of them. So I don't really see the pipeline problem. The problem is your visibility to that pipeline. And this is really a chance for audiences to get involved in fixing that lack of visibility.
Yet, given the fact that we are now seeing more women of color, like Viola Davis, like Erica, and others form their own production companies, we're seeing Netflix and Hulu and Amazon green light shows aimed at people of color, like She's Gotta Have It from Spike Lee and On My Block and others. And we're seeing also projects like Afrolight.tv, which is like the Netflix of African American programming. Who is propagating these stereotype or this thinking out there? Because it seems it sounds kind of counterpoint to what is actually going on out there. Let's not forget we've got projects in the works from Barry Jenkins and from the writer of Moonlight on the Oprah Winfrey Network, and Will Packer's got his company, and Tyler Perry and Byron Allen and so on. It just seems to fall very counter to what is actually going on.
I couldn't agree with you more, and yet it was last week that the New York Times published an article that there was a pipeline problem for women directors. Reese Witherspoon was interviewed and said, you know, it's hard to find female directors. There is the visibility of the world, and then there's the visibility of the industry, and that's still very much driven by what's happening inside the agencies. It's also very much driven by who's in charge at the networks and studios and how they're used to finding people, and their worlds are very small. You know, they're not on the road. They're not thinking about what's happening in Atlanta as a place to greenlight things. They're still greenlighting things in Hollywood and then taking them to Atlanta for production, right? So there's just a real myopia in our business right now that Will Packer is a great example of somebody who's managed to build something really powerful outside of the confines of the Hollywood structure. And there are many other examples like that. I mean, that's really what Erica's doing. That's what Black and Sexy is doing. But these are like, these aren't counted when industry folks are talking about it or when publications are writing about it. It's just not part of the calculus. Which is part of what's shocking. The other thing is, like, from a total volume perspective, we're still not making a huge dent in the numbers. And that is, that's something that, you know, that's what Annenberg and the Bunche Center at UCLA continue to study is, well, actually, how much progress are we making? And the answer year after year is very, very slow incremental progress. It feels like there's a lot more momentum now than ever before, and I think that will continue to be true. But it's also important to remember just how big this industry is, and they're promoting a lot of stories that might help us think a lot of change is happening, but it's not happening fast enough for me.
Mm-hmm. I have not seen that interview that Reese Witherspoon did with the New York Times, and it's the fact that Reese has her own company, Hello Sunshine, which in part is trying to get more women involved in television and film production and so on. And for anyone who thinks, no, you can't find women directors, try a show called Clean Sugar with Ava DuVernay, where all the episodes are directed by women, mostly women of color, and the first season directors are now doing a lot of stuff all over the place in TV, and she's still finding really talented people from all over the place who are getting their shot in television from that series.
That's because there are so many of them. And the other thing is, you know, something that's existed since I have been in the movie business is something called the director list. And that is 1,000 qualified women directors in every category, film, TV, documentary. I just used them to go on a hunt for a documentary I was producing. That's been around a long time, and it's literally a database of 1,000 women directors and their credits. So, you know, this notion that there's no transparency, it's just that people aren't using the tools that are available to them, and it propagates the narrative that, oh, well, I'm trying at least, but they're not. And I think the more that we hold the folks at the top accountable, and that's really, you know, for better or for worse, it's kind of on audiences to say, no, I reject this idea that you tried. You have to succeed now at fixing the problem.
Well, a few more minutes with Emily Best. She is the head of Seed and Spark, one of the top crowdfunding sites, and one in particular deals a lot with film and television, getting projects off the ground. Right now they're working on Keep It Colorful, one of the most unique diversity projects in terms of expanding what can be done with people of color in the world of television. And if you have a question or comment for Emily, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We have a special edition of Tomorrow Be Televised next Tuesday. We're going to be on Monday and Tuesday of next week to kick off October, and we're going to bring you the host of a new series that just launched on the Raycon Media Station this month. It's called Me Time with Frangela. It's interactive and involves two very fascinating hosts. Both have been in the world of comedy for over 2 decades. Their names are Frances Toller and Angela B. Shelton, and together known as Frangela. We will have them live. We'll have one of the executive producers live as well. That's Tuesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, Me Time with Frangela, showcased for Raycon Media right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. And then the following week, we'll be with you Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and then back on our regular Monday-Friday schedule the week after that. So take us the timeline of what happens after the crowdfunding part is done. How soon do we find out who the major winner is, and how soon do we find out what else happens with everybody else?
Well, it's funny. I was just scheduling that this morning. I think what we'll do is a Facebook Live on October 23rd to announce the winners But keep, you know, stay in touch with Seed and Spark on social media, and obviously we'll be putting out exact dates, but we'll probably announce the winners on October 23rd, and then really it's up to the creators to go and get that work made. And I fully expect we'll see at least some pilots getting finished by the end of this year. We really hope to help them launch into the festival season in 2019, and most importantly, you know, either create the full season or sell through somewhere that really agrees with and sees their vision.
Mm-hmm. Do you see this project as being an every year deal?
Yes, absolutely. We've been talking about it already. Already in the process with Ben and Erica at Color Farm of trying to expand the reach of the education we did this year, which was so wildly successful. And be able to do this on an even larger scale next year.
Mm-hmm. At some point, do you see getting not only independent production companies involved, like Erica's company? Again, we're sad that Erica could not make it, and we're going to try and invite her to come back. I'll tell you about that in a second. But do you see, for example, getting a Netflix or an NBC or Warner Media or a Lionsgate involved at some point in a project like this? And also, do you see maybe the possibility of blockchain, where a blockchain cryptocurrency venture, and we have quite a few of them now out there trying to engage creators of color and creators overall in using their work to finance and create and distribute new television series, maybe getting a blockchain aspect involved?
Sure. That was a lot of questions in a row. So at the top of it, I will say, we want to get partners involved who are really interested in advancing creators of color in meaningful ways for their sustainability. We don't want to just pump creators of color into systems that have not been built to support them. So it's really important to me that we would work with partners who are interested in data transparency. It's really important to me that we would work with partners who really understand how to speak to different audiences, right? And I think that's the best way that we can really honor what we're trying to do here, which is not just like get TV shows made, but launch sustainable careers. So that's the answer to the first part. Yes, we're interested in partnering with anybody who wants to do that with us. The second piece around blockchain, I wish Erica were here to talk about this just because we've talked about this before. Like, I have a healthy dose of skepticism around blockchain right now just because of accessibility. Part of that just has to do with the fact that, like, audiences don't have a hard time getting content. So putting an Ethereum wallet in between you and your content purchase is not – it's, like, it's not hard enough to get stuff that you – want to watch, so that you would add an additional step. I also really worry about, again, sort of accessibility, and I think there's a huge education and use gap for women and people of color in blockchain. It's still like very much a male-dominated universe, and I know that that's actually part of what Erica and Ben are trying to break down. And that is the work that I think has to come before it will be a meaningful way to make and distribute content, is really about education and utility. But that's like the exciting work to be done. But I think there's a longer time horizon on that personally. Like, right now, what I really want to make sure we're focusing on is changing the numbers today with the tools that we have available today. And of course, not losing sight of how we might be able to build capacity around the tools of the future.
Before we go, I do want to make a point that Singular DTV, which was one of the first blockchain ventures, cryptocurrency ventures that we interviewed on this program nearly a year ago, Kim Jackson, who is a Sundance person, is the president of that channel, that service. So there is at least one blockchain venture that does have a woman at the top. And you should know that Singular has been very active in going to some of the more recent festivals. They're going to the ITDF Festival in Manchester, New Hampshire next month, to engage with possible creators for their work. So we'll see what happens out of that.
I love what they're doing, and I'm super excited about it. I just think it's a longer time horizon, right? And what I really want to focus on is making sure we're getting work made this year and next year and the year after.
No, totally understand. And it's still, and blockchain cryptocurrency is still a situation. But there's also, by the way, a blockchain non-cryptocurrency venture that showcased itself last week at IFP Week in Brooklyn, which is also being headed by a woman, too. So women are getting involved. And like you said, it may take a longer time period because this is still a very fluid field in play. Emily, what we're going to do is on our show Monday and Tuesday, we're going to update everybody on how the campaign is doing. And then once the campaign concludes and you've picked your winners, we'd like to invite you, Erica, the Black and Sexy People, and one of the winners on our program to showcase what they're doing. And maybe we can help
that
them get showcased up to a good start.
Thank you. This is so cool.
You are very, very welcome. It is our pleasure. And in the meantime, if you'd like to know more about Keep It Colorful or you want to make a donation to any of the ventures, here's where you go online, www.seedandspark.com. That's www.seedandspark.com. There's 6 more days to the campaign. Remember, everybody's working on the same timeline. You can look at all the ventures and get details on each and every one of the 49 projects. When you go to seedandspark.com, then click the Keep It Colorful banner, and you'll be able to take a look at all of them on the same screen and make your donations and your interest accordingly. Emily, thank you very much for coming on the show again. I'm sorry that Eric could not be with us, but you got the open invite that once the campaign concludes and we have our winners, we'd love to have them and you back on the program. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you. Great questions today. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome, Emily. Thank you for making the time. Have a super weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
Emily Best, the chief executive of Seed and Spark, the pop-up crowdfunding site. Once again, to find out more about Keep It Colorful and to make a donation if you like, seedandspark.com. When we come back, our classic trivia question of the week, our segment on Orbital Redux, the live science fiction program that launched last night, and AT&T made some very interesting news, maybe the big news of the week, and some of the most disturbing news of the week. And I'll explain what that news is all about, both big and disturbing. We'll do that all after we pause, after the bottom of the hour, for web identification. You're connected to the best internet radio in the galaxy, www.blogtalkradioandspreaker.com, together reaching over 30 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Blog Talk Radio is your home for Leader in You. It's the empowerment program, all talk and great empowerment too. Catch Leader in You every week, various times, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best BTR available 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Applebaum here live from New York. We'll get to that second half, but first some fine words from the people at Audible.com. Have you checked out Crazy Rich Asians, one of the big films, not only the summer, but of the year? And it's really spreading the word about doing more radio, TV, and film about the world of Asian Americans, current and future. Well, if you want to catch the book by which that blockbuster film was made by Kevin Kwan, you can right now through Audible.com. All it takes, get to this URL, audibletrial.com/televised ASAP. You know, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information. There's over 108,000 titles to choose from. You listen to them on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now, at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and iHeartRadio. Don't forget, it's not just great audiobooks, it's also original audio production under the Audible Theater banner. And in the case of Crazy Rich Asians, it's Lin Chen that does the narrative honors. Remember, if you sign up at audibletrial.com/televised, you get one free audiobook, 1 month trial of the service, and great customer service from fine folks at Audible's parent, Amazon.com, which, by the way, just opened up a brand new store in Soho here in the Big Apple. So if you want to hear what you've been missing and check out why audible.com can transform the way you hear the world, no better way to do it than going to audibletrial.com/televised right now. You'll be very happy you did. Now time for our classic trivia question of the week. We still don't have an answer to the question we posed starting this week. And here's the question. It's name the helicopter service run by TC, that's Roger Mosley's character, on the original Magnum P.I. That's name the helicopter service run by TC, Roger Mosley's character, on the original Magnum P.I. And if you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. And if you just missed the question a moment ago, we'll post it tomorrow on Facebook and throughout the weekend on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. That's UBCSimonTWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in. So get in the game and all the very best. Remember, oh, by the way, our prizes in play, 3 of them. We have the new Loudermilk DVD of the first episodes of the second season of the new series on Audience Network. We have a Season Milan Love My Fitbill DVD, courtesy of Nat Geo Wild. And we have the 6-CD set of John Edward developing your own psychic powers. 3 prizes in play, and if you get the correct answer, you win all 3. Once again, it's simonapple04@yahoo.com. I believe that I might have just gotten a phone call from Eric Alexander of Color Farm Media. Eric, if you can still hear me, if you'd like to get on, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll put you on. Call me in, 646-652-2906. And if I can see you in our Blog Talk Radio screen, we will put you on the air. All right? So I think Erica just called in. Erica, if you're hearing it, give us a call, 646-652-2906, and we'll put you on the air. In the meantime, let's go to Up as an update, where we catch up on some of the guests and topics we have in this program. Last week, we introduced you to the first live science fiction series being attempted in over a half century, called Over the Redux. It had its premiere last night, 8:45 p.m. Eastern Time, 5:45 Pacific, on Project Alpha, which currently is a website, but maybe soon will be an interactive programming service available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. I haven't heard much in terms of critical reviews about Orbital Redux just yet. We have the writer director on the program. We also had one of the executives of Legendary Digital Networks, Legendary being the production company behind Pacific Rim, and blockbuster TV shows like Lost in Space on Netflix, and the Emmy-nominated miniseries The Looming Tower that was on earlier this year on Hulu. But I understand that there was blubs or bluffs or whatever, that things went off pretty well, and now it's up to the audience to see if they're going to be involved with the show from here on in and be interactive with it as well. Once again, Orbital Redux can be seen at www.projectalpha.com. It's www.projectalpha.com. And hopefully Legendary will, sooner rather than later, take that website and turn it into a smart TV set, smart programming service. I had a chance to look at that site yesterday. There's a lot of interesting interactive programming that is on that site. And maybe if they get it on smart TV sets and devices, they can grow that audience a lot faster than currently. We will see, and we'll keep you posted. But congratulations to the folks that put Orbital Redux together. To do live programming, much less an ambitious genre like science fiction, where everything about it, the special effects, the music, acting, all were done live, really, really amazing. So kudos, no matter what happens, to everybody involved in putting that together. Again, Erica Alexander from Color Farm Media, if you are listening and if you're trying to get through, give us a call, 646-652-2906, and we'll put you on ASAP. We're sorry that we didn't get you on the first half of the hour, and if you're listening and you call it right now, we'll get you on during the second half. In the meantime, a comment. I have a suggestion for what was the big television news of the week, apart from yesterday's monumental, incredible Brett Kavanaugh hearing in the Senate Judiciary Committee. By far, that was the big TV story of the week. But in terms of television specifically, in other words, where the meeting is at and where it's going, I would suggest that the big story of the week actually happened earlier this week in Santa Monica, California, where AT&T brought together advertising agency people, some press, others in the area, to talk about the making of a new division called Xander. It's sort of based after, in sort of an interesting way, Alexander Graham Bell, the founder of AT&T, or the inventor of the telephone. It's spelled X-A-N-D-R. And Xander is going to be AT&T's effort to create, on a regular basis, interactive advertising all over the place, and where you can dictate what happens, and you can order products and services from them if you like. Now, they're not ready yet to do it, but this venture is going to pull a lot of data, a lot of technology, and a lot of resources to making it happen. And what it says to me is that AT&T is now getting behind the bandwagon for smart TV sets and smart devices. They seem to get that interactive television, thanks to, in part, artificial intelligence devices and features built into the television set, built into an Amazon Fire TV, a Google Chromecast, Roku, Apple. We were talking about this on various episodes of our program the last few months. They see the tea leaves, and they see that now that we more and more have the opportunity to control how we watch and how we use the television set with our voice, that's where TV advertising is headed. And the point they're making is that right now, a lot of TV advertising is not hitting home with us, the public. We see it basically as time filler. We're not involved. We don't get involved. It's not important or relevant to us. And this new vendor division is out to transform that. And the person who heads this, his name is Brian Lesser, is in fact going to be the lead speaker at Advertising Week here in New York, Monday morning, bright and early, at AT&T's Lincoln Square Theater Complex, right across from Lincoln Center. And I will be there, and I am looking forward to hearing more about what Xander is going to do and how fast they're going to bring this interactive advertising world to life. And when you consider the kind of resources and data and technology and dollars that AT&T can bring to this, it's quite exciting. So that's my suggestion for the big story of the week. Because if interactive TV now has an advocate like AT&T behind it, look out. We are going to have this in our life sooner rather than later. And at the same time, AT&T also came up with what I would argue was the most disturbing story of the week. And it involves how they see HBO going forward. Now, we've heard from Randall Stephenson, the head of AT&T, and John Sharkey, who is the head of Warner Media, that's the new Time Warner, after AT&T acquired it earlier this summer. And we've heard them say that they want to see HBO have more programming. No problem with that, and in fact, that'd be great. And I think Mr. Stephenson is on the right track in saying that AT&T should have its programming budget upped so they can do more shows and present them on other nights of the week or days of the week than Sundays. And there's no question that that is an aim, a big aim of Mr. Stephenson and AT&T. Put HBO and take it to the next level. No problem with that. Right track. But here's the catch. The catch that Stephenson apparently opined in public, either at this event, introducing Xander in Santa Monica, California, or at another area nearby, is we're going to take money out of other programming ventures that we have at Time Warner, Warner Media, for HBO. We may take money out of Turner Broadcasting, TNT, TBS, True TV, or we may take money out of Audience Network, the service that's giving us such shows as Mr. Mercedes and This Summer Condor. It's really becoming a very interesting home for original programming. And Loudermilk, which is coming back for season two next month. And that, ladies and gentlemen, comes over to me as very disturbing. We have seen with Viacom how that strategy works. And while it has, through extra resources taken from other networks, done very well for BET and MTV and Paramount Network and Nickelodeon, it has not done well from where the resources were taken from. CMT, Country Music Television, until this year, was doing strong. They were doing great with scripted television like Nashville, Phil the King with Billy Ray Cyrus, and they were doing well with more original programming, no longer scripted, doing reality shows, not doing much. And TV Land, most of the original shows that were on that network, including Younger, their long-running hit with Sutton Foster, produced here in New York, now they're gone. They're going to Paramount Network or other places. And there's only one original TV show, TV Land show left, Teachers. And I'll bet you by the end of this year, that may go somewhere else in the Viacom family, leaving TV Land basically to fend on its own with not much to go with. Why, when TBS and TNT and True TV and Audience Network are really hitting home now with original programming, would you want to take funds out of their development horizons when they are trying to put more original shows on the board? Just look at TNT alone. Claws is now a major summer hit. The Alienist, the first miniseries in a long while, got 4 Emmy Awards, including Best Miniseries. They've got some very exciting projects on the fire, including a Ridley Scott science fiction anthology series, a new series of suspense miniseries, an interesting miniseries called One Day She'll Darken, executive produced and directed by the Emmy Award by Patty Jenkins, who did Wonder Woman, and directed Charlize Theron, her outstanding performance in Mother. Why would you take resources out of those fast-growing divisions? Why not allocate new resources to HBO? You've got lots of revenue. You're making money from all over the place, including wireless. Why not find other ways to go rather than take, you know, robbing Peter to pay Paul, which is basically what this strategy boils down to? I would strongly suggest to Mr. Stevenson and others in the executive core of AT&T, go ahead and get HBO more dollars, but don't do it on the dimes of Turner, TNT, TBS, True TV, CNN, Adult Swim, Cartoon Network, Boomerang, etc. Turner's networks are doing just fine, and they have their own forming horizons. And what they could use is a fusion, just like HBO, is a fusion of additional dollars to create more original programming year-round. That's what they could use. Not cutbacks. Make the investment, AT&T. Just like you're making the investment in interactive advertising with your new venture vendor. Let that be your guide. And all the very best. Coming up Monday on Smartly Televised, we will talk to Hearst Television Vice President and Chief Digital Content Officer Andrew Fitzgerald. That unit of Hearst, one of the largest TV station groups around, has a brand new Facebook Watch project called Dispatches from the Middle. It involves their local news crews at Hearst TV stations around the country. And we'll also ask Mr. Fitzgerald about a growing trend of local station groups creating content, either individual series or program services produced and distributed by smart TV sets and smart TV devices. It would be very interesting to hear what he has to say about that. And then our very good friend, he's been with us many times before, Mark Bremen, the editor-in-chief of the popular website and email service, The Promo Insider, will rejoin us to talk about the new broadcast season, which started up this past week, continues tonight. And we'll also talk about the Emmy Awards. And we'll get Mr. Berman's thoughts about what new shows, broadcast and elsewhere, you should pay attention to the rest of this year, and maybe even early 2019, too. That's Andy Fitzgerald and Mark Bremen live with us next Monday on Smart Week Television. Don't forget, next week we'll be with you Monday and Tuesday, and that's because of a lot of activity here in New York that I'll be going to. Advertising Week, which runs Monday through Thursday at the AMC Lincoln Square Theater Complex on Broadway right near Lincoln Center. And I'll also be at the Hispanic TV Summit next Thursday at the Mary Marquis. And next Friday, the Future TV Forum over at the Museum of Jewish Heritage, where I think this year they've really focused quite well and quite so about TV's future. So because of that, we're having our shows Monday and Tuesday of next week. Then the following week, we'll be with you Monday, Wednesday, Friday. That's October 8th, 10th, and 12th. Then we're back on our regular schedule the week after. If you came to lay on today's program or you want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to the homepage. We have a lot of wonderful episodes we've done this month with some outstanding people from all sorts of shows that premiered and some other ventures too. So go to the homepage and check it out, blogtalkradio.com/televised, www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. And thank you to all the guests we've had in this program all month long, and thanks to all of you for the more than 11,000 replays so far going into today. So keep the replays coming, and you can also check us out on podcasts through iTunes, Apple TV, and Spreaker's podcast apps, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. If you go to iHeartRadio's website, put Tomorrow Be Televised in the search bar, click it, and you get our shows. And don't forget, if you don't have Apple TV, go to an Apple store near you, or, of course, order it online. What do you think about what Season Spark is doing to expand diversity on television? We'd love to hear from you. And what do you think about where TV's at, where our TV's going in general? We'd like to hear your thoughts about that, too. So email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. It's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where your email is from. I do return emails in 24 hours. You can also find me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. That's UBCSimonTWBT. Don't forget that when you email me, that's also a way you can get involved in our Classic Trivia Question of the Week. It's also a way you can get involved in our ongoing feature, Show to Know. Is there a TV show you like that deserves more attention than it's getting? Let me know. We'll make the showcase for it, and we'll give you the credit for the idea. That's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. However you communicate, email, social media, et cetera, et cetera, phone call, it's always appreciated. Why? Because what you say matters. And once again, thank you to all the guests that we've had on all month long. It has been an absolute pleasure. And again, to Eric Alexander, we're sorry we couldn't get you on for where the deal is. And again, we will have another opportunity with Scene Smart folks to have you on when the campaign is complete and we have our winners. And again, we will invite the winners to come on a future segment, which hopefully will be before the end of next month. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not for those of Blog Talk Radio. Our production associate BTR is Candace Williams. Annie Till is Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sonberg, executive content producer. The co-founders of Blog Talk Radio, Alan Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow We Televise was brought to you today by Audible.com, the proud development partner of the annual New York Television Festival, and an Amazon company. Remember, Audible will transform the way you hear the world. For that free audiobook and one-month trial, audibletrial.com/televise. But Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a fantastic weekend. Whatever you do, make it safe and great. And hopefully we'll have you back here safe and sound, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Monday. You know where, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and the IR Radio Podcast Network. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.